Hi, everybody. Welcome to our second day of this month's culture lesson called Window on the World. We're looking at some fun things people do around the world to have fun and to get exercise and fun activities. And I think the common denominator is sports. Sports is something that brings people together. Lots of people. Probably, I don't know too many people that don't like any sports at all. They like something. And so sports is a great thing that unifies people. We were in the United States yesterday. Then we went down to Brazil. And then we flew over to Scotland. Now we're going down to South Africa today. But before we do that, let's introduce the two teachers that are helping with this lesson, Amanda and Ellen. Welcome back, you two.
Thank you.
And yesterday, we kind of went to Ellen's old neighborhood, Brazil,
yeah.
Right? What did we learn in Brazil?
Well, we learned about the beautiful game, as Brazilians call it, and it's soccer. So this very well-known sport that most of you have probably heard of, or hopefully even played.
All right. And we have the privilege of going to Amanda's old stomping grounds, New Zealand. You excited about that?
I'm very excited.
Okay. Amanda, are we going to be introduced to anything disgusting that we'll have to eat like we were introduced yesterday?
I really hope not. I hope it's more about enjoying the beautiful scenery of New Zealand. Like haggis from yesterday?
Yeah, haggis.
Yeah.
I can't get that out of my head. I know there's a lot of people out there that like eating body parts of animals, inner body parts, hearts, lungs, and liver. Mm. I'm not that kind of person. Are you guys into that stuff?
No. I mean, in Brazil, one of the cuisines that's very famous there is Brazilian barbecue, and they eat a lot of inner body parts too, but I've never been.
But that's barbecued, right? Is that, that helps a little bit.
No.
It's covered that.
No, it still tastes like liver.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think though it's interesting that haggis is from Scotland. You know, it's like it's called the national dish of Scotland, right? And I think through the Highland Games, we learned a lot of things that are from Scotland, like kilts, you know, men wearing skirts. And then we talked about bagpipes as
You're
well.
Right.
Right.
You're
There's
right
a lot
about
of
that.
Cultural things.
Absolutely.
There.
There's a lot of things that make Scotland special, right? Very cultural and traditional things like haggis, bagpipes, and kilts. And so they have very different kinds of athletic events, as we learned yesterday. So I thought that was quite interesting. If you missed it, that's on the page 11 at the top, and you can review that later. Right now, let's go down to the bottom of page 11 and learn about what they love to do in South Africa.
South Africa, rugby. The film Invictus, 2009, portrays the struggle that South Africa endured to overcome apartheid. Nelson Mandela, played by Morgan Freeman, encouraged his fellow countrymen in 1995 to embrace the traditionally all-white Springboks as a step toward national reconciliation. 20 years after the Springboks miraculously won the Rugby World Cup, the sport has become integrated at all levels of society and is a favorite pastime of youths from different races. Mandela's insight into sport as a tool for unity can be seen today as mixed-race teams of all ages set aside their differences in pursuit of athletic achievement.
All right, South Africa, we are there talking about rugby, and rugby has been a big part of South Africa for many, many years, but one year in particular, it became very, extremely, very important. And tell us about the process. We need to go back and learn a little bit of South Africa's history, Amanda, right?
Right. Well, South Africa has gone through a lot of political struggle, mainly due to apartheid, which we see in our text, and that is in our specialized terms. And basically, that was racial segregation between white people and black people in South Africa. It caused a lot of conflict, and actually what was happening at the beginning of this paragraph, we see in 2009, they were still trying to overcome that policy in
okay.
the country.
All right, good. So the word apartheid, you see the word apart in the first half of apartheid. And so there's your clue. It's keeping people apart or separate, namely the black and the white population. And so that's how South Africa ran as a country for many, many years. And then Nelson Mandela came into the scene, and he was played in the movie, the film Invictus by Morgan Freeman. That's a movie that came out in 2009 to talk about the role rugby had in bringing the nation together.
Right. As we mentioned earlier, you know, sports can unite a country, and this was part of the way that, you know, South Africa was able to come together again, and through the leadership of Nelson Mandela. So he encouraged the entire nation to support the national rugby team,
which was absolutely brilliant on his part. He needed something to bring unity to this very, very divided country. Looked around, what could he use to do that?
Right.
There aren't a lot of things
no.
that could have done that. And rugby was one of them, perhaps the only one, that would have worked, and it did work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to just remember, like, Invictus, the movie came out 2009, but they were already overcoming apartheid during 1995, which is what the movie portrays.
Good point.
But like you said, so what they did was, it was the Springbok team, which is the name for the national South African rugby team, was usually all white players. But what happened was that they took on some black players as well, and that's how Nelson Mandela tried to use that, the unity of the team that way, to be a reflection onto the rest of the nation.
Okay, yes, thank you. And that reminds me a little bit of how integrated baseball came into being in the United States back in the 1940s, in the late 40s. Jackie Robinson was mm-hmm. the first black baseball player to be able to play among the white teams back in the late 40s. And that was a huge, huge thing. And he is still remembered and honored to this day, because it was a very difficult thing for him personally to have to go through that, and all the ridicule and the scorn that he received as a player and as a human.
Hmm. I think basketball went through the same process in America.
That's
as right. well,
right? Sure, it sure did. So sports has this ability to unite people, and Nelson Mandela took advantage of that towards national reconciliation. And 20 years, we find on line 14, 20 years after, the Springboks won the Rugby World Cup. And Amanda, I know you have a lot to say about this particular game. Are you a little angry about that?
No, only because the team that they were playing when they won their Rugby World Cup was New Zealand, and our team is called the All Blacks, and they were playing us, and they did win at the time.
Against the Springboks won.
The Springboks won against the All Blacks
okay.
on their home turf.
Tell us about, quickly, mm-hmm. rugby popular in New Zealand or not?
Very popular. It's our national sport. It's our number one sport. So in the way that football is in America, American football is to you, that is what rugby is to us.
Okay. Do you remember this particular game?
Yes.
Where were you when this was happening?
Probably sleeping, because it happened at 2 o'clock in the morning, because South Africa is behind time for us. But definitely remember it, because even though they won and that was their national pride, we lost and that was also our national pride. So we were in mourning the next day.
Okay. Lots of sadness in New Zealand. Meanwhile, in South Africa, there was much celebration.
Exactly.
And Mandela's insight into sport, again, we're talking about his genius using this as a tool for unity, can be seen today. So today we go to South Africa, and we see mixed race teams of all ages playing rugby. All right. Well, that's South African rugby. Let's continue traveling. We will continue going east to New Zealand on page 12. Please join us as we read about bungee jumping and jet boating.
New Zealand, bungee jumping and jet boating. With crystal blue Lake Wakatipu surrounded by the Southern Alps, Queenstown, New Zealand is renowned for its natural beauty. It's also a hot spot for extreme outdoor activities for locals and tourists alike. There are three bungee jumping sites in the area: Kawarau Bridge, the Nevis, and the Ledge, which is reached by riding the Skyline gondola to the top of the mountain for a fabulous view before you jump. Afterwards, hop in a jet boat for a thrilling ride through shot-over river canyons. Hold on as the boat skims, spins, and speeds its way through narrow canyons on one of New Zealand's iconic adventures.
All right, New Zealand. Now, during the break, Amanda, you did mention that New Zealand's national pastime, favorite sport, was rugby, but rugby was kind of talked about in South Africa, so we give that to them, right? Graciously.
Graciously.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we can focus now on something else, a different kind of sport or activity that was created in New Zealand called bungee jumping. And tell us a little bit about the history of that.
Okay, well, there was a man called A.J. Hackett, and I don't know why, but he decided that jumping off a bridge or a high place with what we call the bungee cord was a fun thing to do. And the bungee cord is just a very elasticized and very strong cord to make sure as you fall, you'll bounce back up again.
All right. You've surely seen this on YouTube or in some movie where someone's legs are tied and they jump off a high place, probably a bridge, and they go head first down into this canyon, and then they stop and then bounce up and then go down. And Ellen, you've done this before.
I have not. I have done...
It's on your bucket list.
No.
It's not.
I've done skydiving, but I have not done bungee jumping.
Not desirable for you?
I think for me, like skydiving, at least I land on my feet if all things go well.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like with bungee jumping, you would land on your head if something didn't go well. So for me, that's not quite on my bucket list.
There's something about it too that I hear and I've seen when you bungee jump, the pressure, because all your blood is going down into your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so much pressure in your head when you hit the very bottom part of your descent before you bounce back, that a lot of blood vessels in your eyes will burst.
Mm.
And so people come back and you can see in their eyes they're very red because the very small capillaries and blood vessels have been damaged a little bit. They'll heal, but I just feel like, oh, I don't really want to go through that. All right, anyway, it looks like a lot of fun. Let's talk about the crystal blue lake. Amanda, I'm going to let you pronounce this.
Okay, then lake's name is Wakatipu, and that's a Maori name, the indigenous people of New Zealand. So Lake Wakatipu is surrounded by the Southern Alps. That's in Queenstown, New Zealand, and it is renowned for its natural beauty because the Southern Alps are very long, very tall, and usually have a lot of snow on them, and it just makes a beautiful view against the lake.
Okay.
Of Wakatipu.
Southern Alps, is that in contrast to the Northern Alps?
Well, we have mountains in the north, but we don't really call them the Northern Alps. It's just the Southern Alps. It's a continued ridge line that goes throughout the South Island.
Okay. Mm. So the Southern Alps, we're talking about the Southern Island too, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So it's the southern half of New Zealand. And Alps simply means a mountain. A very high mountain, usually covered with snow. And, of course, the most famous Alps would be in Europe, right? Mm-hmm. Those are very, very famous. All right, so it's also a hot spot New Zealand is for extreme outdoor activities. And this is something where we can talk about maybe the psyche of a New Zealand person. Why so many extreme sports or dangerous, unusual sports begin here?
It's a good question.
Tell us.
Well, we do have a lot of free time. So we finish, you know, school maybe at about 4 p.m. We do play a lot of sports, obviously, but we have a farming culture as well. And on the farm, perhaps you grew up rough and tumbling around, using trail motorcycles over hills. Perhaps you've gone hunting growing up. And so there's this, I suppose, edge towards dangerous things.
So, yeah, maybe people in New Zealand, they don't have this fear that people in other countries might.
Right.
Is that fair to say?
Yes. We learn how to swim very young, so we jump into rivers and lakes without really, you know, with no fear.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say that, yes.
I wonder if that's kind of because of the parenting style. Like the parents aren't hovering over the children, protecting them like they might in other cultures.
Right.
And they just say, go ahead and do it. And getting hurt is part of growing up and being
yes.
a child, right? And
yes.
So they'll heal. It's very interesting why so many extreme sports and activities find their origin in New Zealand.
Hmm.
Okay, there are 3 bungee jumping sites in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda, again, I'm going to lean on you for these words.
Yeah, there's the Kawarau Bridge, again, a Maori name, the Nevis and the Ledge. This is all in the Queenstown area. And it's reached by riding the Skyline Gondola. So you need to take the gondola up the mountain to reach these bungee jumping places.
All right. And while we're on the topic, you talked about the Maori people. Do most New Zealanders have a sense of what these words mean?
Yes.
So is there a translation for the Kawarau Bridge that...
They probably
need to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head. But yes, usually we have a translation or we know about the translation, especially if we live in that area.
Right. Okay, so people are aware of the Maori language,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure even some speak it and learn it.
It's taught in schools.
Yeah, mm-hmm. great. Okay. All right, good. Well, let's move on. We're going to pick it up on line 10. Afterwards, after you jump off a bridge, you can hop in a jet boat. For more dangerous adventuring, for a thrilling ride through shot over river canyons. And there's a little photo there on the left. You can see people screaming down the river through a canyon. That's fun. Shot over, it sounds like you're going to shoot over something, some rapids or some waterfalls.
Yeah, not waterfalls, but rapids. Yeah, you do shoot over the rapids.
Have you done this before?
No, but I've watched it many times, but I haven't had a chance to do it. I've done whitewater rafting, but not the shot over jet itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on, and we're going to see that Bill Quinn, our author, uses alliteration again in the next sentence. Hold on as the boat skims, spins, and speeds its way through narrow canyons. All right, Ellen, what does a boat do when it skims?
It skims, it means it just kind of goes over right just on top of the water. And then, of course, spins, we know it's just it turns and it moves, kind of curves through things. And, of course, speeds, it's going very quickly.
Okay. So the boat, when we say the boat spins, when I think of spinning, I think of maybe clock hands spinning around. But it's not doing that. I mean, it might do it a little bit. There might be some shifting of the boat as it goes through. But when you write and when you use alliteration, authors sometimes take some liberties to make words fit, right?
Mm-hmm, right?
And it's not a bad thing sometimes. It's kind of a fun thing. It makes writing more interesting. So it's certainly within limits to do that. The boat skimming, spinning, and speeding through narrow canyons on one of New Zealand's iconic adventures. So when tourists come?
Yes.
Is this something that you would... If I asked you, I'm going to this place, and I want you to make a list for me of things I should do,
mm-hmm.
where would this fall on the list?
This would be perhaps 3 or 4 on the list.
Okay. What would be at the very top?
Bungee jumping would be at the top.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And you'd recommend that to me?
Probably not you, Steve, but to other people, yes. After you've shared your explanation about why you don't want to do it.
All right, friends, let's move on. Let's finish up this lesson and go to Sri Lanka and talk about cricket on line 15.
Sri Lanka, cricket. First introduced by English colonizers in the 1800s, cricket has become a favorite recreational activity in Sri Lanka. Spurred on by the success of the national team in international competitions, the sport is enjoyed at all levels of society. Kids will organize games on empty lots or grass fields, using makeshift equipment such as old sticks for bats and wickets, and rolled up pieces of cloth as balls, while adults participate in cricket leagues and clubs on the weekends. But all of this participation comes to a halt when the national team is on TV, leading to the next favorite activity, watching cricket.
Okay, we're in Sri Lanka, that country, island nation off the southeast coast of India, also once an English colony, and I find it interesting, and you mentioned this too, Amanda, that some of these athletic events, these sports, were really spread around the world by the English, right?
Mm. Yeah, we see rugby was spread around by the English, soccer, and yeah, now cricket.
Okay, three huge, huge sports. And cricket is a big, big sport. Cricket is one of the forefathers of modern-day baseball, and that's a known fact. That's pretty well established. So cricket is like an ancestor to baseball. Also, popular around the world, certainly not as big as soccer, but it too is growing in popularity. So let's talk about cricket for a few seconds here. On line 15, we find that it was introduced to Sri Lanka by the English in the 1800s, and it was a favorite recreational activity in Sri Lanka. Now, before we talked about soccer and didn't need a lot of equipment, I feel like cricket, you need some special things, right?
You do.
Yeah. What do you need? What might you need?
Well, they do have a bat. I don't know if it's called a bat. Yeah, okay. It is called a bat. And then you do have a ball that gets thrown at the bat, which the batter has to hit.
Okay. There's a small picture at the bottom of the page of a batter trying to hit the ball. Also, you see, though, the batter has special protection on his hands, and he's got special protection on his lower legs. So I'm sure that's important. Behind the batter, those are wickets. Is that right? Amanda, we're always looking at Amanda to see if we got this right.
They're doing great.
Okay. And the purpose, I'm taking a shot in the dark here, is for the pitcher to hit the wickets and something falls off the wicket.
Right. On top of those three poles are also two little wooden, what we call stubs. They're at the top. They connect them together. And if the bowler can hit those off, then the batter is out.
Okay. Mm. I'm so sorry. I called the bowler the pitcher.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Faux pas. All right. So that's the name of the game. Very similar to baseball in many ways. But you do need more equipment, and I don't see this as being as accessible to the people of the world so much as soccer is. But still, the people of Sri Lanka really picked up on it, and they loved it. So we find that there was success of the national team in international competitions, and so the sport is enjoyed at all levels, from young to old. What else do we find out on line 20, Ellen?
Well, we see kids will organize games on empty lots of grass using makeshift equipment. Makeshift just meaning temporary or kind of handmade equipment such as old sticks for bats and wickets and rolled up pieces of cloth as balls, while adults participate in cricket leagues and clubs on the weekends.
Okay, so I was just kind of proven wrong just now, thinking that you need all of these things to play this game, but if you truly love the game, it seems they'll make a way. They'll find a way to play this game, the young kids especially. They'll make, look at a bat or a broom handle, make some wickets, get an old rag and roll it up as the ball, right? I love that. And people do that. Young kids do that with baseball as well. And so they find a way. And then what do we find out on line 25 finally, Amanda?
Well, we learned that this participation in the cricket leagues, the clubs, and the street games comes to a halt, which means it stops when the national team is on TV, leading to the next favorite activity the Sri Lankans have, which is watching cricket. We learned that the success of cricket is because the national team did so well in international competitions. And I know they do really well at the Cricket World Cup every time. I know in New Zealand we've played them very often and we treat them very respectfully as opponents in cricket. So they're very well known for it. But all that comes to a halt so that the national people can watch their national team on TV.
Interesting. It's kind of what you said about Brazil. When the Brazilian team is playing, everything comes to a halt. Everything stops. And the crime rate goes down.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Isn't that interesting? So that's what happens there. But in Sri Lanka, it happens when the teams are playing cricket. Very, very interesting. So what stops your country when and everybody gathers around a TV to watch? Not a lot of things have the ability to do that, to unite a nation like that. So it's very interesting to see how sports have that ability to, people will put aside their differences and come together and watch a sporting event on TV. Well, friends, we're so glad that you've joined us for this month's Window on the World, this culture lesson. We hope you enjoyed it and learned a few new English words. Thanks again for choosing Advanced for your English information and learning English with us. Come back tomorrow, please, and join us for another lesson here at Advanced. And until then, from all of us here at Advanced, it's time to say goodbye. Have a great day.